Hey folks, greetings from the Offensive Security Group here at Security 360, coming at you with a new episode of Cyber Threat Perspective. You've got Brad and Darius here today to talk with you about some privacy law changes that we think are interesting. And, you know, really we're going to talk about some specifics and then kind of back off to more broad privacy discussions, right? And so it's interesting that, you know, us in the offensive security world don't really think a lot about privacy. Until it kind of bleeds over into our world, and we'll talk about why it has. But ultimately, we just want to kind of give a rundown of where privacy is today in the United States and maybe compare that to some other stuff. So with that said, some admin really quick. As always, if you find this useful, please, you know, rate, share, subscribe, like, et cetera. I don't know what all the buttons are these days, but do the things. It does really help us out a lot. And we'll have links to everything in the description, you know, our blog and different places. So let's start out by talking about like what brought the conversation on, right? And so what happened is, and I'll give you just a quick timeline of the subject. In January of 2001, the FTC and HHS put out guidance. And by the way, that is the, I think it's Federal Trade Commission and also the Health and Human Services. They put out this guidance that basically said, you know, you can't use tracking technology to track your patients, right? So in a HIPAA setting, you know, if a client were to come to your website and, you know, look at something, let's say they're looking at like, you know, PT, physical therapy information on your website, right? And you gather their name and their IP address and their geolocation data, that becomes PHI and has to be treated as such. And I don't know. I don't want to assume that I was the one who didn't realize that that was supposed to be the case, right? But I guess maybe it just didn't occur to me in the context of my work that that was a possibility. And so the guidance came out in January, and like anything else in the regulatory world, there's always this kind of stand back, right? Where we're just like, do they really mean that? Like, are they actually going to enforce that? And you know, and you always you worry, am I going to be the first organization that gets slammed with some kind of enforcement with regard to this new regulation? Well, somebody has, right? And it took 2 years, and now an online healthcare provider has gotten hit with a very big fine for using tracking technology and shipping that off, right? So the technical aspect of this was they were providing healthcare services online, and they were gathering user data, right? Like tracking information and they were shipping that off to a targeted ad online provider. And so the clients of this online provider, we're basically getting targeted ads and being tracked across the website of the healthcare provider. So this was in violation of the guidance in 2021. So they got levied a fine. Now, getting levied a fine is not a huge deal. I'm not trying to speak ill of anybody in this situation. However, it caused a little bit of a ruckus in the healthcare industry, right? That was, I think, where everybody kind of looked up and was like, oh, wow. Like the FTC means what they said, you know? And so I don't know. Did you know about this? Like I didn't even read the 2021 guidance until, you know, probably in 2000 and in like 22.
Honestly, this was completely brand new to me, honestly. And to kind of, you know, where you're getting at and why everyone's, you know, kind of on standby even more so now is because now there's a precedent set.
Yeah,
you know, it's yep. Like, so like you're saying, like, you know, everybody was waiting to be the first person popped, and that's happened. And so now the potential for the floodgates to open are pretty great. And so now these healthcare providers, they're having to take a step back and really look at, hey, what are we doing? And in a perfect world, this would be really easy to find out. You know, they'll just walk down to IT and say like, hey, we need to figure out everywhere that we're tracking and figure out specifically what's being tracked. And, you know, we're just going to press the button and turn it off. Yep. But we know that we don't live in a perfect world. And so now there's really this case of healthcare providers are having to ask, one, what do we even have out there to begin with? And then on top of that, what are we tracking and where? And so now there's just this huge mess and this huge incident that now healthcare providers are having to try to figure out, okay, what are we doing and what's going on? How do we move forward?
Yeah. And look, you know, hospitals and healthcare providers, this problem is not unique. And the problem that you specifically mentioned is, what do we have? Right. And, you know, I'm going to use the term that I think everybody dreads when they listen to this podcast, and I'm going to say blocking and tackling, like, know what you have, asset management, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now, if I step off my soapbox for a second, it's not a unique problem to healthcare providers, but hospitals by their nature are, and I'm lumping healthcare providers and hospitals together. I understand that those are different things, but from a layman's perspective, we're going to use those interchangeably in this episode. But here's what I want you to take away from this is they're disparate. Those are totally different things. They're disparate, and meaning that they're very sparsely spread out. So the business units is what we used to call them, but the different branches of the hospital, like the surgical unit has their own website. They have their own IT staff, right? They have their own, you know, all of these different moving parts. And so to your point, there is not a centralized IT resource. They can walk down the hall, knock on the door and be like, hey, Bob, what are all the websites that we have? Nobody knows the answer to that question. So now there's this kind of massive undertaking that everybody has to think about, and everybody needs to go scramble to figure out what resources they have, right? But that's half the battle. The other half of the battle is, once I figure out what all those resources is, what they are, I've got to now go figure out what is being used on them from a tracking perspective. So I would ask this question, right? There are two things we are really good at in offensive security. One of them is finding stuff. For sure. The other one is technically analyzing things to determine what they're made of, because those steps are inherent in penetration testing, regardless of what you do. Right? Whether it's mobile or web or external, we have to find stuff, figure out what it's made of so we can attack it. And so that's the reason that we in the offensive security world, I think, are well suited to help solve this problem. So, agreed. Yeah.
So let's say, let's talk about these changes a little bit though, right? Because, you know, we talk about tracking and, you know, let's just on a base level, right? You know, what do we mean by tracking? So for those who may or may not know, pretty much every single time you go to a website, you're going to get something called a cookie. And it's just basically stored in your browser. Just a little bit of, it's going to have some type of information within it. And as you go from site to site, at least in terms of targeting and tracking cookies, you know, maybe that cookie contains an ID. You're going from site to site. And as you're going to those sites, the fact that you have that cookie is going to basically send back to, well, you know, whoever the data is going to, saying like, hey, you, Brad, was on, you know, this page looking up insulin. And then next thing you know, he went to this other page looking up, you know, talking about, you know, insulin in California, right? Because they just recently capped the price there. And with that data, you can probably logically think, maybe Brad, you know, needs insulin. He's looking at prices. Boom. Let's send them to this healthcare provider, for example, or something along those lines. That happens. That's a very simplistic example, but that happens everywhere. And it's not just cookies, right? There are web beacons, so that as you're scrolling through the page, they can say, hey, you were scrolling and then you stopped here and you hovered around this particular section of the website. Track that, log it. And, you know, it goes deep as far as what's being tracked, from, you know, how long you stay on a page, how you interact, page views, all of that is, you know, is taken into consideration, whether it's for targeting purposes or even just, you know, analytical, seeing like, hey, you know, how is our website performing? What are we doing? But what these changes that we're talking about, that, man, it just really makes it more complicated as far as, you know, what do we do? So a common thing that, you know, may get logged is IP addresses, right? So that you're able to see, okay, you know, this particular user from this location or from this IP, you know, they're interacting in this way. Well, if that's now being classified as PHI, what do you do?
Right. Yeah. And when you tie geolocation to an IP address, basically what the guidance is saying is that that combined with your browsing history or the information of the site that you're visiting, that's PHI. And, you know, again, I'm not a regulatory guy. I'm not a privacy guy by trade. I always thought that HIPAA was regulating things such as, you know, like if I had a patient record, right, or specific patient data. And so like I had to have a relationship with them in order for my relationship to be regulated by this regulatory body. This is different from that. This is, you know, a person like me who just goes to an informational like WebMD. Think about WebMD, dude. How many people go there?
Oh man.
Just to look up like, oh, my knee hurts. I wonder if I have brain cancer, right? And so they go there and they confirm because WebMD tells you you're dying no matter what the you know diagnosis is. And all of a sudden they're getting tracked, you know, they're getting tracking you know, technology that's tying them to looking at that. And so that is new because I don't have an established business relationship with WebMD, but now the HHS is saying, hey, now you have to treat it as though you do. That's totally different, at least to me anyway.
Yeah, that's, I think that's the challenge in and of itself. Man, so as far as, I guess, healthcare providers, you know,
what does that mean?
Yeah. What does it mean? What do we need to do?
So, you know, the first thing that I think you need to do, right, is go figure out what you have.
Yep.
Step number one. You know, now, you know, the intent here is not to sell anything, but we have a process that we use to identify and go through, you know, to do a privacy analysis, a technical privacy analysis on your footprint, your external footprint. But the things that we do, you don't have to pay for, right? You can do this on your own, especially if you have a seasoned IT staff, you know, give them the tools. So we basically go out and we enumerate all the domains associated with a hospital. We put those into a spreadsheet. And then from there we go and we crawl every single one of those and we extract, you know, all of the cookies and tracking technology and we do analysis on it, blah, blah, blah. But you guys can do this at home, right? You can do this inside your own organization using some pretty standard tools. So that's my advice. My advice is figure out what you have first. Like what are your externally facing sites? And by the way, I do want to make one clarification point here. Just because the site is not on your location, like physically hosted at your site, doesn't mean it doesn't belong to you. If it is branded, right, it is yours. You are responsible for it. Even if you spin up a website on GoDaddy or Wix or whatever, and it's your site and you're getting out information and that's how you're reaching clients, you own that, you know? So keep that in mind, but yeah, go figure out what you have and then go figure out what tracking technologies are used. I will tell you based on our experience, you're going to be surprised.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I think we've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of changed how I look and how I interact with websites now. Like I always knew it was there, right? Like I knew tracking was going on, but you know, like, yeah, I'll use Firefox, you know, and they'll disable ad trackers for me to the best of its ability. Mm-hmm. But looking at the sheer amount of things that are logged and, you know, talking with clients and they're like, oh, we had no idea. Cause you know, it's right. So easy. You know, you spin up these websites, like to your point, like, you know, WordPress site, right? And a lot of times it already comes baked in.
It does, yeah.
You know, so it's tough. It's really tough. And it's really scary how much is being tracked and just how much can be found out with that data.
It really is, man. And like you said, people don't know they're doing it in most cases. So, you know, it's very rare for someone, especially in the healthcare industry, right, to go spin up a website and intentionally install a ton of different types of tracking technologies. Usually they're going to install one tracking technology because that is their marketing and data research, which everybody has to do on the normal course of business. So we're not saying that you can't do any analytics at all. But what we are saying is that you need to be aware of what the data is. You need to house it and treat it as if it's PHI, and you have to notify users of the site of what you're tracking and what you're using the information for. That is what I think is getting most people in trouble right now, is they don't know what they have, so they can't notify the user and they don't have any ability to control the data itself, you know? And I think, let's ask this question, right? How do trackers get into play if I don't put them into play, right? Well, dude, how many people write web apps and mobile apps completely from scratch? Nobody does that, right? Not unless you're a dev shop. So what's happening is we're rolling, like you said, you go spin up a WordPress site and WordPress is already doing data analytics out of the box, you know? And same thing for other libraries. You may even build your own website, but how many third-party libraries are you using? Are you using React Native? Guess who wrote React Native? Facebook. Am I right? Facebook right. owns that, yeah. you know, and Google uses reCAPTCHA, right? They have a reCAPTCHA product that is free. Now, what do we say about free stuff?
Yeah, right. Yeah, if it's free, you're more than likely the product.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So Google is gathering analytic data on people using reCAPTCHA. Okay. And so there are a lot of these tools that people are using in their tech stack and in their application portfolio, and they have no idea this stuff's tracking, you know, their clients. So that's why I say, even if you think you have a good firm hand on things, go figure out what you got, go dig through it to figure out what the tracking technologies are. It is a technical task. This is not something you can go through documentation and figure out. This is not a policy exercise. This is a technical, some dude with a browser proxy or, you know, dev tools or something is looking at requests and responses between the client and the server. And it's the only way you're going to figure out what's on that site, because you can't even go look at the file system. Half of this stuff is being called out and loaded as an external resource.
Yep.
And so you have to look at it from a technical perspective. Okay. So I want to stop talking about healthcare for just a minute, because I think, you know, and this is me trying to step back and look at this from a larger picture, that there may be implications to other market verticals besides healthcare.
Yeah.
Right. Do you agree with that?
Oh, for sure. So the thing that I kind of compare it to the most is I think of, you know, GDPR, for example, where they have strong, or what some may consider strong, privacy laws. Mm-hmm. And then we look at the US, right? You know, that's not necessarily the case everywhere. I know California, they've you know,
drafted laws. They have some pretty solid privacy laws.
Some stuff. Yeah. To the point where, you know, sites now explicitly, depending, you know, if you're coming from California, they will treat you differently than the rest of the country, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the potential for this is wide sweeping. This is everywhere. And so, you know, I think, you know, what industries may be impacted. I think for one, you mentioned earlier, you know, banks for sure, right?
Yeah.
I think marketing departments everywhere are kind of going to be on pin and needles, because that's, you know, a major part of their job, right? Is they want that targeting. They want those analytics and those stats, because it's, you know, it's how they justify their existence, right? Mm-hmm. But I think one that's really interesting that you know, we haven't talked about yet necessarily is, I think, you know, what does this mean for social media? Because this type of data is their bread and butter. I mean, this is why Facebook and a lot of these social media companies, I mean, this is why they're so profitable. They're selling the data from their users. So, you know, with this kind of going into effect, it is going to be kind of interesting as far as what, you know, what could potentially happen. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, you know, what happens if, because of the fact I go to a healthcare, I know we're trying to get off healthcare, but I just keep going back to it, right? Like, what happens when I search something about diabetes and then I go to Facebook and next thing you know, Facebook now has all that information.
Yeah.
Let's take it a step further, because we know Facebook at this point, they sell the data that they collect, right? What happens if, you know, insurance companies, if they're not already, it wouldn't surprise me if they're not, but like, what happens when insurance companies are now like, hey, let's buy this data, and with these stats, you know, deriving, you know, whatever, so that they can say, okay, you know, we think that, you know, you're coming to us, we think that you're going to have a pre-existing condition based on your search history. Therefore, you know, you're going to qualify for these rates instead of these rates. I know this is it's kind of dystopian, but this is kind of the stuff that I start to think about in terms of broader implications.
I agree. And I think when we start having the bigger privacy conversation, you know, I'm looking at it from two sides, right? I'm looking at it from the perspective of, you know, the business. Okay. So like, if I'm a law firm, for example, is someone browsing my website for my law firm and looking up divorce information, like if I'm a family, a practicing family lawyer, right? Does that constitute a private information, right? That is that the same thing as healthcare? In other words, like, you know, if you can geolocate me and you can basically identify me as a human being, tie that to the fact that I'm browsing, you know, divorce information on a family law website, that is potentially dangerous information that I would think would need to be private. So, you know, think about that. And so for those of you out there that work in the professional security and IT world, I want you to think about it. What do you guys do for business? And if is someone seeking out information on your business an adequate reason that you should treat it as private data? You know, and now let's talk about the flip side of that, right? The other side of the coin. And that is like me, if I am browsing Amazon for, I don't know, like, let's say I'm browsing it for something private, right? Like, I'm trying to think of something that's not like absolutely off the wall here, but you know, let's say multivitamins. Okay. I'm browsing Amazon for multivitamins. Right. So that's a medical thing. I'm looking into that information. That's probably not a big deal, but the point that you're making is that could be used either to support the fact that I'm trying to be healthy or the fact that I'm not healthy and I want to get that way. And then that information is then important to my healthcare provider, or insurance provider, I guess would be a more accurate way to look at it. But man, there's just so much information out there on us as individuals. It's scary, right? You know, and everybody, I want you to just kind of reflect internally while you're listening to this and say, okay, how would I feel if my mom got a copy of my browsing history for the last 5 years, right? And everything that I've looked at probably wouldn't be cool. And so, you know, that's the perspective we need to look at it, you know, from a privacy perspective. I feel like that should be our approach. But we're a long way from that. You know, your point, there are much stricter privacy laws elsewhere. So interesting, something to think about, right? And I know there are a lot of privacy advocates out there. This is just on the edge, I think, of the offensive security world. And so we don't really think about it. We don't really live in this space other than when we have specific jobs, you know, that force us to get involved like we do with a lot of the HIPAA privacy stuff that we're doing. But anyway, so this is really all just to bring privacy to the forefront of the conversation, right?
For sure.
All right. So closing thoughts before we wrap this topic up. I think we've hit everything we wanted to. And, you know, unfortunately, there are 100 cans of worms that we've opened with this, and we could have 30-minute conversation on every single one of them. You know, but broadly speaking, I think we kind of summed up everything. So thoughts?
Yeah, I would love to hear from our listeners just their thoughts on the matter, because this is a fairly deep, you know, conversation. You know, you're talking about, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? Notifying your users of how you're using the data. Is that enough?
Yeah. And we as users, by the way, have to be responsible for checking that I agree box. And I think we have become kind of blind to it, you know, and I'm guilty of it too, right? When I'm in a hurry and I'm trying to install a piece of software, that ULA screen comes up and I'm like, yeah, agree, next. I don't even care. Even the ones that force you to scroll to the bottom, I'm just like, scroll, 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 scroll. Yes, move next.
Right.
You know, we got to do better.
In our defense, in our defense, though, man, they make it challenging. I've been to your website. I've been to your website before. Why am I still getting the cookie notification? I've already told you necessary only. Yep. You know, so they don't make it easy. But yeah, I mean, is that enough? You know, that's kind of what I'd love to hear a more, I guess, broader discussion on this topic from the community for sure.
I agree with that 100%. All right, folks, if you like this episode, please share it with your colleagues. And that's really the best way that you can help us out. So other than that, you guys have an awesome day and we'll see you next Wednesday.